That's where the magic happens, baby. That's where the magic happens.
We're on, baby.
Are we on?
Yeah.
Are you here?
I'm here.
Okay.
Are you here?
Yeah.
Are you here or are you there?
I'm here.
You're there.
Yeah. I'm here.
You're there.
Yeah, here I am. How was everything in Chiang Mai today? How was it?
Nice and relaxed and easy.
Nice and relaxed and easy. Good. Easy.
Easy, like Joe Sunday Kelly. Morning.
Easy like Sunday morning. Yeah.
Very similar to that.
Yeah, so there you go. So you want to do a show?
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
Do you want to do a reading?
Yeah, I'll do the reading. So we'll start and then I'll do the reading, okay?
Okay.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time for everybody's favorite recovery program. Oh, sorry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for everybody's favorite recovery program. Real Raw Recovery. I'm Joe Tilley in Newcastle, Ontario.
I'm Tyler Tilley in Chiang Mai, Thailand.
Okay. Well, let's get after it, shall we? Let's open with a moment of silence, followed by the serenity prayer. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference. Okay, let's start with the reading from Daily Reflections. Global sharing. Global sharing from Thailand to Canada. The only thing that matters is that he's an alcoholic who has found a key to sobriety. These legacies of suffering and of recovery are easily passed among alcoholics one to the other. This is our gift from God, and it is the one aim that today animates AAs all around the globe. That's from the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 151. The strength of Alcoholics Anonymous lies in the desire of each member and of each group around the world to share with other alcoholics their suffering and the steps taken to gain and maintain recovery. By keeping a conscious contact with my higher power, I make sure that I always nurture my desire to help other alcoholics, thus ensuring the continuity of the wonderful fraternity of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so this was taken from a book that was written, let's see, by members of AA in 1990. So that's, 30 years ago. And it's interesting talking about passing the message on from one alcoholic to another around the world, when that's really happening today with the Zoom meetings, how people are sharing and connecting from all around the world. And yeah, there's a meeting that I go to almost every night that is based in Baltimore, but is the folks on there are from everywhere. New Jersey, Hamilton, Western Canada, England. So it's pretty cool.
If there was a light switch fixed, I'm just curious, would they still have that meeting or would it go back to normal? Like, would you be able to tap in anymore or you're not sure?
The plan is to make it a hybrid meeting, right? Which means that at some point we're probably going to be able to meet in person and eventually like even larger numbers in person. So I would say probably the 15 or 20 people in Baltimore will be there in person.
Right.
And then they'll have a camera microphone hooked up so that, and with the Zoom camera, that so people wherever can see what the live people are sharing.
Right.
And the live people will be able to hear what the folks on the Zoom, side of things are saying.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the idea. And that some of those are happening now. There's actually meetings in Oshawa where they're meeting in person, you know, and in person, I think you're allowed up to 25 or something like that.
Right.
Maybe less now because they had some rollbacks. But say, for example, 25 people are there live, and then other people can connect to the meeting via Zoom.
Right.
And so the speaker is actually live because they asked me to speak at one of them, and I thought it was a Zoom meeting, and I couldn't make a live meeting, so I wasn't able to speak there. But, you know, the person who's speaking is live, but they have the camera hooked up to right. the podium. So that the people who are live can hear the speaker, no problem. And right. the people on Zoom, you know, so it works out pretty good, actually, from what I understand. A speaker meeting is much easier, though, than a discussion meeting, because now you got to pass the microphone and camera around the room to all the people right. who are sharing. So it makes it complicated. But can be done. The one meeting that we do, this back to basics meeting that we do on Saturday mornings, that is, we decided that we're just going to keep it as a Zoom meeting. It was, of course, it was a face-to-face meeting for the first 12 years, but then COVID hit and now it's become a Zoom meeting.
Right.
But we've got people on there from Colorado. We got people on there from Washington and right. like it's so... If you had a face-to-face meeting, you would lose all that. So,
right,
yeah. And so I think we've decided that everybody just decided, we like it like this. And you know, there's no reason why we couldn't have a second meeting that was live and people wanted to go, you know, to a second edition live. But a lot of people have struggled with the Zoom meetings. They have a hard time getting their heads around those Zoom meetings. But, I'm not in that category. Right from the word go, I was really willing to explore and test the Zoom waters, if you will.
Yeah.
And I found that I found it really, really awesome. You know, I because you can stay home and go to 4 or 5 meetings a day if you want to. There's conferences where, you know, a different speaker from a different part of the world is on that meeting, one after another. Like when, you know, your mom and I took part in a STEP workshop,
right.
And we talked about, I think it was 6 and 7 maybe, and together. And so somebody did 1, somebody did 2, somebody did 3, 4, and then her and I did 5, 6, and 7 together. And, you know, like all the way through, and it was really good meeting. And we didn't catch all of the speakers, but we caught most of them.
Right.
And, you know, it was, just one of many examples there's a lot of people I've talked to and met, and one guy who I sponsor who's never been to a face-to-face meeting.
Wow.
And I've taken them through back to basics, and I've taken them through the big book.
Right.
And not fully through, but we're going through now. And right. So all of that's happening. We actually do it on Zoom.
Right.
We've done some of it on Messenger, but we do it on Zoom now because we just find the quality is good. And there's other guys that I do on FaceTime and guys that I work with, and we go book, And it's I think it's been really productive. I have heard some people complain about it, but you know, it's like, I don't like to fight reality because reality is what it is. Reality is what it is. So here's what it is. Here's what we're faced with. Here's what we have. Let's work with what we have and make the best out of what we have. As opposed to some folks who just say, forget it. I can't do that. I'm not doing that. So it's kind of like, okay, fine. So a guy just comes into recovery and he's looking for a meeting, CANA, whatever. And he's looking for a meeting and he was looking to connect and he's looking to go, well, what do you tell him? Forget it. I don't like Zoom. No, you tell him to go to Zoom because that's all he can do. And then there's 24-hour meetings, like every hour, a new meeting, 24 hours a day. There's an AA meeting and a CA meeting, you know, that I know of. So, you know, that's it's crazy. You can be on there at any time of day because people are there from all over the world, Australia, you know, like everywhere. And, you know, so it makes for it's good to connect. It's just good to connect. And it's fun to listen to, you know, the newcomers, you know, and it's not, I shouldn't say fun's probably not the right word. It takes you back when you listen to the newcomers and you hear the struggles that they're going through, but they're on those meetings and they're talking to people and they're getting phone numbers. You know, there was a lady yesterday that a meeting I was on, and there was sort of like a recovery Facebook site that I was looking at, and the guy was talking about this meeting that he goes to every night, and it's a 7 o'clock at night, Eastern. And I went on the meeting, plugged in, and wow, a lot of new people in there. And one gal who was brand new and struggling, and you know, I don't know, it just raises my, you know, I guess compassion and love level, I guess is what I think it does. It's just really, really good for me to hear that stuff. And, you know, she's getting numbers from other women who are on the meeting, and yeah, so it's good. It's good. Yeah. So that's my experience. And I'm big on Zoom and using the tools we got to do what we.
Hey. You cut out.
Oh, did I really? Sorry. Am I back?
Yeah, but not, you didn't cut out for long. You just said the tool, you like to use the tools you got, but then you went dark.
Yeah. Okay. That's it though. Use the tools you got. You give what your maker gave you. You know, because I mean, I do have that, you know, I fought reality. I spent time fighting reality. Did I tell you? I've told you about my fighting reality analogy, haven't I?
Well, boxing? No, go on.
Okay, so... I used to fight reality a lot more than I do now, but I still fight reality on occasion.
Okay.
So what'll happen is, you know, I fought reality 10,785 times.
Yeah.
And I've never won. But, you know, this time I've been training hard and I've been in really good shape. And I think this time I can fight reality and be okay and win. So, you know, I get in the ring with reality, and it's, you know, we step in the ring, we climb in there, and I'm feeling good. You know, I'm shadow boxing, and really, I've never been in better shape than I am now for fighting reality. I've got a great sense of what I like. My knowledge is way up there. My physical being is like, I'm ready. And I get in there and I start throwing the jab, land a right hand, left hook, oh, uppercut. And I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm stinging it. And all of a sudden, bam! And I look up and the referee's counting 9, 10. And then the ring announcer says, the winner for the 10,756th time, reality. And so that's what happens to me. Because I do have this insane idea that sometimes I can fight reality, and I don't have to accept what is. I can say no, not accepting this. I'm going to change. I'm going to change reality. And the point of all that is that when we're dealt with this virus and we're dealt with this world that we're in right now, my choice is to accept that Zoom meetings are the way to help others recover. Mm-hmm. They're the way to carry the message. Or I can just say, nope, not going to do Zoom. Nope, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. Not going to carry the message. Not going to tell anybody about Zoom. Not going to send a newcomer to Zoom. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to maybe phone a guy, talk to him on the phone, but I'm not going to send him in. Like, why would I do that? That doesn't make sense. But I know some people who are doing that, who completely stayed away from Zoom meetings. And I think to myself, what is that? What is that? Right? If Zoom is the only way for me to connect, you know, and to help and to carry the message and to be part of the solution, then I need to, you know, get out there. You know, yeah, maybe it's not great. Maybe it's, you know, people are hurting. And, you know, there are a lot of problems that have resulted as a result of the virus and what's going on. Yeah, I understand that. But as human beings, don't we have to just make the best of what we got? Make the best with what we got instead of choosing to suffer? You know, there's going to be ways that we're going to have to suffer in some ways. And sometimes we're going to have to do without certain things that we used to take for granted. And that's the way it is. But I think it's also our job to make do with what we got and do the best with what we got and use the tools that we do have to help those who need it, as opposed to be stubborn and say, well, we don't have what we used to have, so screw it. Wow. Okay.
What?
It's okay. Oh. Wow. I mean, if that's your attitude, to just say, no, not doing Zoom. Not going to do Zoom, not going to do a newcomer, not going to help a newcomer to get to Zoom. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm just going to stay home until it changes. So that's my take on things.
You're a good man, Joe Kelly.
Yeah, thank you. I try to be, you know. I really do. I want to be a good man. I want to be a helpful man. So anything else from this reading that you've got today?
The only thing that stuck out for me, I think, like if this was a traditional meeting and there was eight people sitting around in a circle, mm-hmm. I'd probably pass.
Right.
And, but for the sake of our conversation and for my own, not just to hear myself talk, but I wouldn't even call it hesitation, but I'm not chomping at the bit to add my insight, but mm-hmm. since I'm going to put myself and kind of push myself like on a diving board, I still want to watch. I'm still trying to monitor what's my intention when I share. And in this case, I'm a little bit, I'm definitely not getting any. This reading doesn't upset me in any way or make me feel. It doesn't make me feel anything. Like it doesn't hit any nerve
No inspiration or nothing. Whatever. Yeah.
But what it does, mm-hmm. but what it does, and if I had to chime in, which in this case I'm going to opt in, it would be that it just really emphasizes for me kind of my core beliefs of fellowships and 12-step programs and AA in general, is that I believe kind of in my heart of hearts or deep down the power of community. And in this reading, it referred to the community as a fraternity, a wonderful fraternity of Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm like, mm-hmm. That's an odd word to use. I would personally, I'm in the world where I really like to emphasize with whoever I'm talking about the program, or whether it's somebody who's not in the program or somebody who's in the program or somebody who's suffering or somebody's doing really good, such as yourself, is that it is a community. And the power of a community would definitely be a chapter in the rewriting or the second coming of the big book for me, because mm-hmm. it's put even a couple chapters, because I think it's everything. And I think that's how the program actually works, is because not only is there a longing to belong, but there's also a real desire to fit in, and desire to stay, and to have camaraderie, and to be acknowledged, and to have somewhere to go, to have people that are like-minded, to believe in a primary purpose, to have meaning, and the community provides all of that to the individual. And that at the core of it, I believe for me, there is love. There's a lot of love there. I think I can't dissect it in a way where I think it's ridiculous or stupid. I don't believe it. Like that's why I still would consider myself a part of it, is that it is based on love at its core. But I do believe that in my experience, and especially looking back on how I was able to not only escape, but then build upon the foundation that it gave me, looking back on it, it was the community that really raised, like they say, it takes a village to raise a kid. And that's really like what happened for me. Because like what I wouldn't get from one person, I'd get from another. And what one person would say would be perhaps off base, I'd get some understanding from another, like all this wisdom and life experience in a church basement, I would soak it up like a sponge. And some of it was really like, and sometimes I'll get caught up in this, and I'll get caught up in some of the ridiculousness that is there. But what was much more dominant or prominent is just the simple, like, I have had a shitty life, kid. Sobriety is way better. You're a lot better off hanging out with us. And if you don't like what I'm saying, go talk to so-and-so over there, and go hang out with them for a while. And it was this network and community that really goes, okay, I'm lost, but I don't feel lost when I'm hanging around this community. And they believe in this, mm-hmm. this, and this. And if you want to be part of the community, then do these things, and then you'll fit in. And when you fit in, that will replace your not only your old life, but a lot of your old behaviors. And replacing those behaviors will also then create freedom from active addiction, because you're doing different things. You're changing. You're breaking the cycle. You're replacing old patterns with new patterns by just joining this community, and it's remarkable. But I think the reason why I'm chiming in at all is just because I would like to see a lot more emphasis on that, versus the ambiguity of God and like, and then people's personal beliefs. And I think things start getting really skewed and scattered when you start going, well, you just believe in whatever you want to believe in, and associating that logic with how you're getting sober. Well, what's actually really happening is the community's getting you sober and the community's keeping you sober.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who believe that the core, the root of the disease is disconnect from, like, a social disconnect, isolation and a inability to connect with others, and this belief that we can't, that we've lost all ability to connect with others, or that we just don't want to, or whatever. But, you know, they've done experiments with rats and things like that. You know, we've gone into the rat park thing before, but it's funny when you mentioned fraternity, there's a few different definitions. One is, of course, the male student society in a university or college. A group of people sharing a common profession or interest, that's kind of getting there. But this one here, number two, the definition, and I like friendship and mutual support within a group. Friendship and mutual support within a group. That sort of sounds like the kind of fraternity that we're talking about, right?
Yeah, and just, I want to keep, just to kind of like, add to what I was saying, like, I think it's important that the way I presented that sounds like a clear, like a slam dunk, or a clear, like, it is what it, but I'm trying to present a point that I just feel like is kind of glossed over, or I personally like to investigate that. I do think like work on oneself is critical, and I do believe in the individual, but I also just think there's just magic in having that community, and because it's really based on like this, like I'll stand up for it in a sense, like no one's really selling you anything. They're selling you on, there's a lot of sales pitches going on, and there's a lot like, do this and do this so you're part of, but you're, when you go home, like you'll still have your TV, and when you go home you'll still like, they're not like the there is sales pitches, but it's A, to join, and B, it's in theory for your own best interest. So, and I really believe that. Even if you would go AA's a call, they'd be like, okay, like, even if I go, fine, you're like, but it's much more, it is,
yeah, well, I think, yes, but like when you say a cult, it's kind of like, when I imagine a cult, it's like somebody's trying to steal your brain for a purpose, to get you to follow them for a purpose,
right?
Whereas the only reason to follow and be part of this is because I personally benefit. I can learn how to be free and at peace, and have peace of mind and serenity, and not have to drink or take other mind-altering substances to feel that I'm okay. So if that's what the end result of belonging to this so-called cult is, well, sign me up, you know? Because most cults have a end game, right? They're trying to get you to be something, do something. And in this case, it's like, no, man, here you are. Do it or not. It's up to you, man. Here's what I've done, and this is what happened to me. And I'm pretty good today. You can do whatever the hell you want to. And, I mean, if that scares you and you think that's a cult, well, then so be it. I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, I think what would kind of differentiate AA and a cult is that there's no real leader. We do have idols, and there's people that we put on, that we idolize, but
yeah,
they're not alive.
No, there's some people that when they open their mouths and start to talk, I go, oh, this person knows what they're talking about. I like listening to this person.
Thank you.
You know, those types of things. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah.
No, so just to sum up my point, just now that I kind of, again, I kind of forcing myself to share, which I don't really like to do, but I just believe, I just want to say it again, just for my own benefit, is that the AA community, yes, based on love, yes, all the things I said earlier, but I do believe it is transformative for the individual. And I would, when I talk to new people, and specifically, I really put a lot of emphasis on that, because there's so much to gain, and there's access to that community, and to be involved and to be part of that ecosystem is so healthy. And for so many reasons. And then of course it will, I believe it will, it is a major component, probably the number one component that will help you stay sober. So that is my, that is just my, that is based on my experience today, especially looking back on how I've grown up in these rooms and then revolving around this kind of sub world and what it's done for me. And I really like to look at it objectively without trying to stick up for it or also bash it, just call it for what it is. And I work hard at that and try to really, and keep an open mind while I'm saying the things like, yeah, you know what, I'm going to walk that back a little bit. That doesn't sound right. Like I don't think I would call the AA cult, but if you were to refer to it, how would I respond to that? And like, that's how I like to look at it. And I just find it because I find it so impactful and so valuable. And like I said, such a healthy way, like it's such a healthy group to be a part of. I like just to have my ducks in a row when really looking at it objectively and what it's done for me. But also going, well, this is really clear what's kind of unfolded for me anyway, like being part of it and what that means and what it does to the individual is really important. Because it's like if you go to church, you can feel wonderful. Like let's say you go to the church and they're singing and there's the pastor at the front and he's reading all these verses and you don't even really, it's like when you go to your first meeting, you don't really even remember, like no one will remember their first meetings. Like you don't even remember what people said the last week at the meeting, but it's like some of the stuff will resonate. Some of the stuff will really, you'll carry it with you, but it's kind of the energy in the room and the community surrounding you and being able to feel like at home and at peace and coming to terms with what peace and serenity feels like. Like a lot of that is felt in the meeting when you're submersed in that community or in that meeting for that hour. You go, wow, like I feel relaxed here. Wasn't like scratching myself and itching to get out and go use. Like I was actually granted serenity there. And you find that in the meetings, especially in the beginning. You find it there. It's like the first place you find it, especially from leaving your old life behind. And it's like, it's like the first time that you felt love, peace, emotions, tapping into emotion. They're all at these meetings, all revolving around this community.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, it makes sense. Like, why wouldn't you want to be part of that?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you shared on that. There was a lot of good stuff there. So you ready to wrap it up?
There's any final thoughts, sir?
No, we should put a pin in it.
Okay.
Pack it up.
Put a bow on it.
Put a bow on it.
Put a bow on it. Don't put a pin in it because it'll blow it up. Put a bow on it.
All right. All right. Let's close with a serenity prayer. God.
God.
Grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and wisdom to know the difference.